When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's the Beckler and Shauna podcast, your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes, offering affordable customization on your new home.
It's Monday, May 6th, 2024. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
Beckler and Shauna Pisscast, back for another week.
Yep.
How was your weekend, Shauna?
It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, Friday chilled out, which is really nice. The last few Fridays, I've not been able to do that. And come Friday, we talked about this before, but like we're gassed. Yep. Fridays suck to have to try and like do things. So that was nice. And then Saturday was action packed. I went snowboarding in the morning, and then I went to a friend's party, and then I went to Beer Fest and caught up with some old friends who were in town then. And then yesterday was just another more chill day. Caught up with another couple friends who were in town. So yeah.
Nice.
Action-packed.
Yeah, it was a busy weekend. Yeah, yeah. I was at Beer Fest too, and the kids had stuff going on. McKenna had stuff going on.
Yeah.
My allergies are really acting up right now, so if I sound all nasally, it's because of that.
Sound nasally.
Yeah.
Only nasally on there.
Hate it.
Yeah, that sucks.
But we had a good show this morning. We have a literal business for you. We talked about provinces and tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
How an MLB team would fare against, or I should say, how a slow pitch team would fare against an MLB team. And etymology, some more law and order from rural Alberta. We add to the body, supercut bodies. We'll talk about something funny that happened to me at Beer Fest. Another thing you can't look cool doing. And we would be remiss if we didn't talk about Game 7 of the Leafs and Bruins.
Yeah.
That and more after you got a context clip. Big tough shoelaces.
Yo, look at me with my bunny ears.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
On Saturday night, my Boston Bruins defeated
Toronto
Maple Leafs in Game 7. In a wild Game 7, too.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know if you watched, but there was no scoring until, 10 minutes into the third period, and there was two quick goals within, a minute.
It was crazy.
And then it went to overtime, and overtime didn't last very long.
Yeah.
We were watching at Beer Fest, you and I, and I wasn't, there were a few people in jerseys, so I was like, okay, there's a few fans here. And then when Toronto scored their first goal, the place went nuts. And I was like, oh, everyone here is cheering for the Leafs.
But then Boston scored, and then a bunch of people were cheering for Boston.
Oh, I thought there were way more Leafs fans when they scored.
I was I thought it was impressive because there was as you said, no one was really in jerseys, and everybody was kind of lingering around. And I was like, oh, yeah, no one's really watching. And then, every time, I was like, oh, wow, okay.
I mean, it kind of makes sense because there are a bunch of people from Ontario who live here, right? Yep. And even when the Leafs play here, it's half Leafs jerseys at the Dome.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about that, Shauna?
Well, I'm a Leafs fan. So I mentally, the minute that they were playing Boston again, I counted them out. Then they were down 3-1. I counted them out. Then they came back and I was like, okay. And then Game 7, I truly was like, it could go either way. Mm-hmm. They were actually playing a little better, which I liked. So I was like, they have a chance. Whereas in the past, sometimes I'm just like, I'm not even giving them a chance.
They did outplay Boston for a good part of that series, which is why I didn't even think the Bruins necessarily deserved to win the series. But
yeah, so it was the first time that I was like, this actually could go either way. But again, I'm, as a Leafs fan, mentally prepared, knowing they're probably going to lose. So when they did, I just was like, yep, that's that. And I just moved on and kept drinking at Beer Fest. So
you weren't that bummed?
A bunch of friends were like, well, how do you feel? I'm like, can we stop? I've moved on. Don't ask questions. Okay.
Well, it was nice to beat the Leafs, but I did. I said last week too, Florida was waiting for whoever came out of this series,
also,
and that's going to be a very tough road.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So now, of course, we'll get to hear we'll get to hear all about the Leafs and what they should do and who should go and what changes they should make.
That's true.
You know who I think would have it figured out though is Don Cherry. I think he might have the answer to the Leafs' problems here. Talking about the Leafs choking again and everything like that, but I tell you what, and I've said this before, the reason the Leafs keep losing
is because Austin Matthews wears earrings and carries a purse.
This has nothing to do, Don, with what Matthews wears outside the ring.
Nope, look at this here, kids. To win the cup, you gotta have grit. And you're not gonna win following a pretty boy like Matthews.
The fact that he has a fashion sense doesn't mean he's not good at hockey, Don.
Take a look at the last few cup winners. Vegas with Mark Stone as captain. Good Canadian kid, no earrings, no purse. The Avalanche, Nathan MacKinnon, Halifax, Nova Scotia. He's never even seen a purse before.
How would you know what they do in their private time, Don?
And tell me why the Leafs play better when Matthews isn't in the lineup, huh? It's the earrings and it's the purse. Rock 'em, sock 'em, support the troops. God. Let's go.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
I got another thing you can't look cool doing, Beckler. It might be kind of situational, though. So I was walking down the street yesterday, and there was a guy in front of me, and he was all tough-looking, and he was walking tough and, like, looking around like he was tough. I was like, okay,
cool. I know that tough walk.
You know the tough walk.
About.
You know the tough walk. And then he stops, and he bends down, and he ties his shoelace. And immediately he looked less tough, I have to say. Like, he was walking tough and, like, looking. He was like, don't mess with me. And then I was like, oh, no, my shoelace isn't tied. And then he bends down, and he's doing the old tie of the shoelace.
That's so funny.
And I was like, that brings you down a notch. You can't be tough and then tie your shoelace.
Because
you should have left it untied, man.
You imagine his internal monologue,
yeah,
right? Where he's 100%. Like, I'm the toughest guy here.
Looking at
if
everybody
looks
like
at me,
that.
I'm gonna fight. I'm so
yeah.
tough.
Yep.
So,
mm-hmm.
Oh, crap. My shoelaces untied.
Yes.
I'm gonna tie them so tight and tie these shoelaces so tight.
Honestly.
Two bunny ears. I'm gonna pull the one through the other.
And that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, it's even more hilarious if you hear him whispering to himself, okay, like one loop and then the other. And then there's two different ways to tie your shoes.
There
do you
is,
remember?
Yeah.
And there's one that's even less tough than the other.
It's the two bunny ears.
Yeah, it's
right?
the two
where
ones. And then you form it and you're like, oh, that's not a big enough ear. And you see him and I got to do a bigger ear. He tries it. Oh, jeez.
Big tough shoelaces.
Look at me with my bunny ears.
You know, I completely agree with you, Shauna, especially if you, there's like the way that little kids do it too.
Yes.
Like, I think if you can stoop and touch your toes,
uh-huh.
that's better.
It is.
If you have to like get down on one knee,
yep.
that's how little kids do it.
Oh yeah.
I think I've like.
You put your gangster pants on the ground and you have to bend down and you have to do it that way. No, you can't look cool.
I've somewhat lessened the uncoolness of this because I agree with you.
Yes.
It does not look cool. If you can find something to throw your shoe up on.
That's the way to do it.
That is the coolest way to tie your shoe as
still
an adult.
Still not ideal, but better for sure.
Still not great.
Yeah, the one where you go on one knee, you
yeah.
know, like you're about to you propose to somebody and then you get down and you start doing bunny ears. Like that's
the
sorry,
least
man,
cool
that's
way.
That's not
hey?
Cool.
With the kind of your tongue sticking out too as you,
yep.
as you concentrate.
Mm-hmm. And then you almost fall over. And
tough.
As you get older, of course, you're a little stiffer even getting, so you make yeah. noise. Ooh, as you bend down.
Is that guy eyeballing me? As soon as my shoes are tied, I'm...
I can't get back up.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
You and I were both at Beer Fest on Saturday night.
We were.
And the amount of overlap between fans of X and Beer Fest is huge.
I don't think there is a more concentrated event ever. Like, even concerts, nothing is as many friends of the show that you see as at Beer Fest.
Short of, like, an event that we put on.
And even yeah. still, it's debatable, honestly.
There's so
crazy.
Many X fans at Beer Fest. So
I love it.
I was walking around Beer Fest with a friend, and, you know, like, every 15, 20 steps would stop to talk to someone
for
that,
sure.
you know, knew or listened to the show or just met. And my friend was saying, like, do you ever meet any strange people, you know? And I said, our listeners are so good that
they're
like
so awesome. Everyone is so cool that we meet.
I said if you know if we meet 100 people at an event like this, 97 will be great. Two might be a little strange, and maybe one is a problem. You know?
Yeah.
And I had just finished saying this.
Oh no.
And we took like literally just finished saying this, and this woman came up to me and she's like, "Hey, I hate your show." And I was like, "Oh, really?" And she's
oh,
like,
my.
"Yeah, your opinions on the air suck." And then she slinked back into the crowd before I could say anything else. And my buddy's just howling.
That is really funny.
But the funniest part was the guy she was with, who I would assume would be her partner, her boyfriend, whatever, he looked just disgusted with her. Like, he gave her this look of disgust, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He was so embarrassed.
Okay, if you don't, like, just don't move on. Like, what?
Well, I mean, partial credit to her for saying it to my face,
it's true.
I guess. A
actually,
lot of people just
I really do appreciate it. You're right. You're
send
right.
snarky comments on the internet. So
yep.
she did say it to my face.
True.
She took off running before I could say anything back.
Mm, yeah.
But
no, good for her. You're right. She came up and she told you what she had to
Yeah, my buddy was laughing. He's like, you literally just finished that saying so that, like, funny. Everybody is great. And this woman comes right up to me and tells me she hates me.
That's hilarious.
And then, like, right after that, we met up with our wives. And I told McKenna the story. And she's like, where is she? Where is this girl? And I was like, easy now.
But
easy.
Yeah, and to, as you say, she is entitled to the opinion, for sure. We do not, she's entitled to the not opinion. Everybody enjoys our show. That is totally fair. So
that is fair. You know, we give share opinions sometimes that people don't like, don't agree with. That's fine.
And as you say, I truly give her credit for coming and saying it to your face. That's refreshing. Really.
And for listening. I mean, she listens enough to know to hate me.
100%.
I just, her poor boyfriend, though, he was so embarrassed.
Guy.
I was like,
poor guy.
Good luck with that, man.
Yeah.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Well, we have a few more additions to the body supercut that we have.
Yeah, I have a couple as well.
Yes, it's lovely because actually a few friends of the show that we met over the weekend were like, I've got some to send to you. And I was like, please do. If that's what people do now. They hear a body in a song. They're like, we got to send it off to add to this supercut. So
mine are both from friend of the show, Steve, who I met for the first time at Beer Fest on the weekend.
Amazing.
And, like, Steve and I have messaged for years.
That's
for
awesome.
For years and years. So,
I love
yeah.
that. So for those of you who don't know what the body supercut is, should I play it real quick first?
Just, okay,
here it is. Yeah.
Body.
Body. Body.
There's a lot of bodies
going on.
It's
getting long,
isn't
it?
It's getting real long.
I wonder if it's longer than the truck supercut at this point.
Oh, damn.
We'll have to stack them up side by side.
We will. So here's a few to add.
Sure.
This one is Body Movin' by Beastie Boys. Never thought of that one.
Body Movin'. Body Movin'.
Classic, right? Obviously, there's a lot of bodies in that song. So there's one.
Yep.
Okay. There's this one. This is actually, we'll do this one first. This is The Village People, Macho Man. Remember that song?
Oh,
Macho Man.
There's a lot
That's
of bodies
one of
going
the ones
on
that
there.
Steve sent me.
Oh,
and the
amazing.
Intro. The intro to that song, they go
it's just
nuts
straight
with
bodies.
Yeah.
All of the bodies.
They say body like 40 times in the intro.
500 times, so. Yeah. And then there's this one, A Perfect Circle. This is a really good one.
Body.
That's a long one, isn't
that
it?
That is a drawn-out body. That's a tall body right there. That's a tall drink of water, that body.
This is Unholy from Sam Smith. It's not as good as the one you just played, but... Toss her on the
body.
That's no
hold
perfect
on,
circle.
Okay, one more. Hold on. Let's go back to it here.
Oh, that's going to stand out in the supercut, isn't it?
It sure is, yeah.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Last week on the show, we were talking about how there is a... I didn't realize there's a show called Law and Order Toronto.
I had no idea either.
Criminal Intent.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a Law and Order set in Toronto now.
Nope.
We were saying, okay, that works. Toronto's a big city, right? Mm-hmm. There's, what, 6-7 million people in Toronto?
Totally,
so,
yeah.
The show wouldn't be as interesting out this way, I don't think. Especially not rurally.
No, I don't think so.
Like, you couldn't have Law and Order, Rural Alberta, Criminal Intent, could you?
No. The victim had someone siphon gas from his quad. That meant no muddin'. That should be a felony.
The victim reported his truck stolen, then realized he had just gotten liquored up and left it at the bar.
The victim had several Terries come onto his property and attempt a bush party. They were charged for trespassing.
Two sleds were stolen off a trailer. Really, though, the sleds were stolen.
That's bad.
They're gone.
That's
they won't bad. Be recovered.
They're gone.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Etymology with Shauna.
I said the term making out, as in, you know, necking.
Necking.
Making
swapping,
out with somebody.
Spit. Tongue wrestling.
That's gross. And then I was thinking, I was like, why? Where did we come to, like, get making out from to mean, you know?
Also, do people still say making out, or is
that's
that a relic
question.
Of our generation?
It might be. But regardless, I had to look into this. So the term make out was developed in the 30s and 40s, which is older than I thought.
Yeah.
At the time, though, it was more in the vein of meaning to succeed. So, you know when you say, like, how did you make out with something? How did it go, in other words? Well, that's where it kind of came from. So, originally, making out didn't mean foreplay, though. It meant to go all the way, meaning you succeeded. So, making out would be, which is also a hilarious descriptor. Like, so
then how did it get watered down?
Let's go succeed. I know that was just, I think, more of a, it just became a generalized term, meaning anything to do with what you do with your partner. But originally, it was all the way. Let's go have some success. Let's go succeed. That's so strange.
That is pretty funny.
And then I got thinking about it, and I was
It's not my favorite term, though. The biblical term, knowledge. Like, to have knowledge of someone.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's even funnier, hey?
I didn't even know that was a thing. That's in the Bible?
He had knowledge of her.
Oh, my God.
Carnal knowledge.
I also was thinking about petting. And I was like, where did petting come from? So that was popularized in the 20s, but that was from 1818 was the first time that somebody used petting, meaning to...
Like heavy petting?
To stroke, right? Mm. So heavy petting. And that's where it came from, is the stroking description of petting. But there's this definition, and it's really funny, talking about petting. And it says this. It says, so it came to be in terms of petting parties. At these parties, promiscuity became more commonplace, breaking from the traditions of monogamy or courtship, with their expectations of eventual marriage. This was typical on college campuses, where young people spent a great deal of unsupervised time in mixed company in theaters.
This is so funny. Because you have to think about the time when, like, you weren't allowed unaccompanied with someone of the opposite sex until you were...
Yeah.
Like, until you had courted them, right?
That's it. And that's where petting came to be, is when we finally were alone in the theaters, unaccompanied.
Yeah, went off to college for some heavy petting.
Yep. So there you go.
Etymology with Shauna.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
My son, Bo, is 9. Loves baseball.
Yeah.
He asked me this question on the weekend, and it led to an interesting conversation as we tried to figure it out. He said, how would your slow pitch team do against an MLB team? And we laughed because, I mean, obviously we would get annihilated. But how badly is the question?
Terribly.
Okay, but what would that actually look like? What would the game look like?
We wouldn't be able to hit against a major league pitcher.
This is slow pitch.
Oh,
so they have to lob it up.
Okay,
yeah, because
so
you're right.
Do have to, yes.
If they're pitching, then nobody would even
lights
put
out.
A bat on a ball.
Not a chance.
But
okay,
wouldn't
so
even
they're
foul
trying.
It off.
Okay,
so they have to slow pitch style pitch. So they're like lobbing it in there, but like would we get on base? Would we ever be able to get a run?
Only if it went over the fence.
I guess so. Yeah.
That would work.
I mean, you could even a bad player can hit a gap sometimes, right?
The odd time.
So if you
yeah.
just got lucky and hit like 3-4 gaps in a row,
maybe. We might get one run.
Okay, on the defensive side, would we ever be able to get out of an inning? Or would every batter that comes up just launch it into space?
Well, that's the thing. If there was a rule, which we have a rule on how many home runs,
okay,
so that they had to actually try and hit on the field, then maybe. Of course, they will aim for all the gaps, but there's always a really unlucky... There's a chance that they'd have something unlucky happen and we'd be able to catch one.
Like, would just maybe pop one up just enough that
exactly.
we could get it? Or like,
right?
Like, I wonder how long it would take us to get out of an inning. Like, what would the score in that inning be?
It could be several hours.
it could be hundreds to nothing, couldn't it?
It like, could be hundreds to nothing.
Yeah, I was just trying to think like what that would actually look like.
Yeah, it could be a 14-hour game, but eventually we might be able to get out of it.
Baseball is a weird sport, though, because like there is, a certain degree of luck just in terms
absolutely.
Of where the ball lands, right?
Well, when you think of, like a good average is you're hitting 3 of 10 balls, right? Like,
but could a big league hitter, if you're trying to throw strikes in slow pitch, could they just tee off on every single ball across the plate?
Actually, you know what? They'd probably struggle with it because you have to wait so long for a slow pitch ball.
But they also practice hitting off a tee and stuff, so they
do. But friends who I know who play fastball, for example, and then try and play slow pitch, it's a big adjustment period because you're not used to waiting that long for that ball.
Yeah.
And then when you do, you can easily pop it up and do all kinds of stuff with it. So that would be maybe an issue, but
it would be a fun experiment.
It would be.
I wouldn't want to be the pitcher.
No.
I wouldn't want to be standing on the slow pitch pitching mound.
I wouldn't want to be a third baseman either, really, or actually anywhere in the infield. In fact, I wouldn't want to be on the field.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
It's funny because as big of a massacre as that game would be, our slow pitch team versus a team of MLB players,
I feel like that's also the sport in which we would have the best chance of scoring a point against pros.
Yeah.
And that's only because of the pitching, like you said.
Yes.
If they were pitching, not a chance.
No.
But, like, hockey, you wouldn't touch the puck.
Nope.
Unless it was accidental.
Again, it would have to be, it's somebody friggin' up. It has to be like a human error, and that's how you can get in. And as you're right, like, baseball has the most margin for human error.
Yep.
And the most expected
failure?
Non-success. Yeah, failure.
Yeah, and the most, like, probability, like, possibility of just getting a lucky bounce, right?
Sure. Yep.
Because if you're talking about the trajectory of a ball off a bat, like a millimeter can make a difference between it being caught or landing in a gap.
Yep.
So, yeah.
For sure.
But, like, yeah, I mean, they would skate circles around you in a rec hockey game.
Yep.
Rec basketball, I mean, if you're playing against, like, a bunch of 7-footers.
Yeah.
Like, you might not touch the ball.
Mm-mm.
So.
I mean, soccer, maybe, because the net's so big. But, again, you'd have to.
Even then, like,
yeah, you'd have to be good at kicking a
ball. They'd be so much faster and so much better at handling the ball. Like, you wouldn't even, you might not even touch it.
Yeah, that's true.
Football, you'd die.
Yep.
So, like,
just straight die. So, not that one. No.
Yeah, and then even other sports, like think tennis. Like, there's no way you're returning a professional serve ever.
Nope. It would have to be sheer luck.
Yeah, where you just
sheer
put
luck
your racket
or
out.
Sheer error. Somebody really shit the bed. Those are the two options. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't really think of another sport where you'd even have a shot.
Nope.
The gap between professionals and average people is just way too big.
Yeah.
Speaking of the professionals, this podcast is brought to you by Shane Holmes. Shane Wenzel posted this series of photos about their show home in Aspen Spring Estates.
Oh, okay.
It's at 418 Spring Creek Circle, and I hadn't seen this place before, but, like, it is spectacular, Shauna. It's such a nice house.
Okay. I'm going to creep on this now.
One of my favorite features about this house is in the basement, as you come down, like, they have the stairs with, like, the set of, like, a landing and everything, and you come down the stairs, and there's, like, a glassed-in gym at the bottom of the stairs.
Amazing.
So,
yeah,
like, you keep all your gym equipment and your sweat and your noise in there.
That's genius.
And then the basement is still...
I have a few friends now that have gyms in their house, and I'm like, that would be the dream. Like, that's...
Yeah.
I have one in my building, and it's just so delightful. You walk, or I just go down the elevator, and I am at the gym.
And you said no one's ever in there when you're there, right?
No, of course, because I go at 3:30 in the morning, so it's only me. So I get this double-level gym all to myself, and I was thinking, I was like, if I ever had to go back to going to a gym in the busy times with everybody else, I'd be so sad.
Yeah.
Like, one other person was there this morning, and I was like, what are you doing here? Get out of my gym.
This is my gym.
This is my gym.
But at the Shane Holmes home, it would be your gym.
Yes.
Which is
That's the dream.
Pretty sweet. One of my neighbors has... So on the other side of the street are all these houses that, like, overlook the river and the golf course and stuff, the really big houses. And they're all walkout basements. And somebody underneath the deck, like, at their walkout basement, has their gym set up out there.
That's
so they
amazing.
Have a squat rack and a bench and everything.
Yep.
And it overlooks, like, it looks west towards the river and the mountains. And I was like, I can't think of a nicer place.
Hell yes.
To work out outside as well.
Genius.
I mean, a good part of the year here, you probably wouldn't want to.
No.
But when it's nice.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. The other thing I thought of when I saw this glassed-in gym is I was like, I wonder how soundproof that is. Because if I need to get any work done at our house, Shauna, and the family is there, it's next to impossible.
Right.
Just from the noise and someone asking me a question every 30 seconds. I had to record some audio for a video last week, and I had to wait till the house was empty. Just like, it's always just so noisy. So to have, like, some sort of
soundproof
place you could just go... Like, if I was building with Shane Holmes, a soundproof office would be...
That would be huge.
...on my list.
Yep.
That would double as a studio.
Totally.
Learn more about Shane Holmes and their affordable customization, and maybe even take a peek at this show home at 418 Spring Creek Circle in Aspen Spring Estates. All that info can be found on their website at ShaneHolmes.com. Shane Holmes.
The better way to build.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
I saw a girl with a mountain tattoo yesterday, and I got thinking about how, like, that might be the most popular tattoo in Alberta. Or at least in Calgary.
Could be, yeah.
Like, the number of people that I see with mountain tattoos here, it's incredible. Most people, it seems, including me. Like, I don't judge, but it's truly just, I wanted one too. But I was like, that's got to be up there. I got thinking about what the most popular tattoo might be in each province, though. And then I was like, I wonder if there's any information on this online. I'm sure it would be really tough to track. And when I looked, yeah, you can't really find. I did find, though, a study on the provinces most likely to have tattoos. Any guesses?
I have two guesses.
Okay.
I know tattoos have their roots in, like, nautical, right? Like, like the Navy and that. And so I'm going to guess maybe the East Coast.
No.
Because of their... My other guess, okay, not there. My other guess would have been here because tattoos are not cheap and there's a lot of disposable income flying around here. So
I found this shocking, but believe it or not, British Columbia has the most amount of tattoos.
Okay.
I was like, it's probably a lot of hippie tattoos. That's what I'm guessing. Like maybe a lot of hand done ones too.
A lot of tattoos of trees.
A lot of tattoos of trees.
Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking. I was like, what would the most common tattoo be in each province? And I think, yeah, trees would be a big one in British Columbia. A lot of nature.
Yes. We've already established mountains here.
Yes. After British Columbia, Quebec.
Has the most tattoos.
Yeah. And I was like, I bet you there's a lot of fleur-de-lis and a lot of patriotic tattoos coming from Quebec. Yeah. So that makes sense.
Probably a lot of nationalistic tattoos.
100%.
Mm.
And then after that, it is Alberta. So yeah, a lot of mountains.
Yep.
And then Atlantic Canada comes next.
And would that be nautical themed?
I'd say nautical themed for sure. Okay. Lobster, fishing, something like that. You know, there's probably a lot of lobsters.
Anchors.
Yeah. Yep.
That sort of thing. Up north, I would say maybe like a wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Look at the territories.
Three wolf moon kind of thing, I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder how many people have got the full three wolf moon going
on. Those three wolf moon shirts?
Yeah.
I just want that on me.
Yes. Please take my shirt. Okay. This is the shirt. Put it onto my arm. What about Saskatchewan? Riders. Riders has got to be. Or Pilsner. I know a lot of people with Pilsner tattoos.
Do you?
In Saskatchewan.
I don't know if I know anybody with a Pilsner tattoo.
It's either the bunny. I know. Yeah. More than one person with the bunny, and I know people with like Pilsner, the logo.
Wow.
And then Riders. I know a bunch of people with Rider tattoos.
Probably a lot of Rider tattoos, yeah.
Yeah.
What about Ontario?
That's the toughest one for me. I don't know, but maybe more back to nature, some more hippie tattoos again, because the lakes there and that kind of thing, but that was the toughest one. It's probably the biggest array, because there's people from, well, I guess that's only in Toronto, though, so I don't know.
Ontario's like... too big and too diverse to pin it down, isn't it?
Yes. One more. Manitoba. What would you say? I was like...
jeez.
Would it be like a grain elevator? One of the old school grain elevators?
Well, I know Manitoba has a huge indigenous population. Mm-hmm. So maybe some indigenous imagery.
Some art. Yeah, that would be cool too.
Disproportionate to the rest of the provinces.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think those are as good a guesses as any.
I think we nailed it.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
A friend was planning an event this weekend, and last minute, everybody bowed out.
Oh.
And
that sucks.
There was something going on this weekend was insane. There was like 5,000 events. I don't know what it was. I was like, is it the weather? And everybody just was like, last minute, we need to do everything this weekend.
It felt like that. I mean, we felt like we were going all weekend and still turned down stuff. So
honestly, but it really sucked because this event had been planned for a while, and super last minute, everybody was just like, oh, actually, I can't go anymore. And we were talking recently about how McKenna had this happen to her and has it often happen when it comes to her lash business. And salons and stuff will have this happen. And there's a lot of places now that actually have penalties if you cancel your reservation last minute. Like you have to give 24-hour notice. And if you don't, then sometimes they'll charge you the full amount. Or Open Table, if you just don't show up on Rezos for too many times, they will just cancel your account and say you can't book with them anymore.
Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah. That happened to me.
You got canceled?
Yeah, with one of my past accounts. Yeah, because there was a couple times where I didn't realize and I canceled too many times. So I was like, I've learned my lesson.
Yeah, I get it. Tough to run a business with that going on, right?
And I was thinking that, I mean, maybe we should have this for friends as well.
Like where if you bail too many times,
you get a penalty.
You're kicked out of the friend group.
Like maybe we should have a little Rezo app for your friends and maybe not kicked out entirely of the friend group. But if you do this a few times, it's a penalty of $10. You have to contribute to the party or something. Because sometimes people have invested money into these parties.
Yeah, a lot of money, a lot of effort and time and stuff, you know, making food and that sort of thing. And things come up in life, right? Everybody knows that. People get sick last minute. There are emergencies. But like you said, if you throw a party and like... hours before, six people are canceling, saying they're not feeling good and stuff. You're like,
yeah,
okay. It's like, you just don't want to come.
And I feel like as a society as a whole, we've just become a lot more comfortable with doing that, with canceling things last minute.
Yeah, and I'm not comfortable with it.
No.
I don't like to do that.
No. It sucks. And it really, truly does put these people out who are trying to arrange events or make parties happen. So maybe a Rezzo app for your friends could be a thing.
Is it a generational thing, Shauna?
I think so.
You think so? It's like our generation is more likely to cancel last minute?
It's too easy to book things is the issue.
Oh, okay.
Right? When it's online booking, I think that means people feel almost a detachment from it and they're more comfortable and it's easier to cancel because of that too. But if you don't, then you're leaving people hanging. So,
right. What about even socially?
Yeah. I think it's generational.
Yeah.
People are... Well, on the one hand, right, when it comes to mental health, people are more comfortable being open about that side of things, which that is fair, right? Like if you're having an issue. But again, I think that you're still just a little, maybe a little too last minute to announce that or, but I think there's a lot of reasons. People are like, oh, I can justify just canceling last minute now, so I'm going to do it more.
And it's easy as sending a text saying you're not coming as opposed to actually
having to phone
up and tell them, hey, I know your party starts in an hour and you put a lot of work into this, but I'm not coming anymore.
And before we had phones, worse, face to face, you'd have to cancel that way. And at that point, you're already there, so you might as well stay.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
It's been a while since we have mentioned a literal business.
It has
on the
been
show.
A while, yeah.
We had a whole bunch of them there for a while.
Yep.
These are businesses whose names leave no question as to what they do.
Nothing up to the imagination.
No.
Just the most straightforward business names you've ever seen. Yeah.
I have two. I passed one the other day driving down south. It was a place called Incredible Florist.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. Very simple.
Wow, you're an incredible florist.
It's a little more descriptive because we're tossing the incredible in there, but I like it.
Because it has an adjective?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But, it's still really good. You
too
know?
Flowery, maybe.
Yeah.
Too flowery for this segment.
For the florist, yeah.
The other one was from friend of the show, Heather, who lives out in BC.
Yes.
And she said there is a business near her called Carpet Repairs Only.
Yeah. That's great.
What do they do?
Carpet repairs.
And what do they do only?
Carpet repairs only. All we do are carpet repairs.
Hi, do you sell carpets?
Repairs only.
Do you clean carpets?
Repairs only.
See, I have this rug that I got from my trip to Nepal.
Carpet repairs only.
Carpet repairs only. It's like OnlyFans, but instead of nudes, it's worn or damaged carpet.
Carpet repairs only.
You've been listening to the Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes, offering affordable customization on your new home.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's Alternative, X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have Beckler and Shauna downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.